This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lin Mark and Wong Xiaoning. It is 7:17 in the morning, Tuesday the 15th of October. And we're running a poll on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you, what do you think about the government's decision to expand Bantuan Sara Hidup in Budget 2020? Your options are good, need more subsidies, good but no more, bad, too many subsidies, or bad, remove all subsidies. Do let us know what you think. We've had about 30 votes so far. You've still got an hour and a half left to vote. Tell us what you think. Now, of course, in the recent budget 2020, and we are still whose coverage we are still doing today, the government has said that they will subsidize a few areas like highway tolls, petrol, as well as the Bantuan Sara Hidup program. And there will be a minimum reduction of average toll charges by 18% across all plus highways.
In addition to that, on 1st of February 2020, the toll rates for cars at the second Penang Bridge will also be reduced from RM8.50 to RM7. Meanwhile, the Bantuan Sara Hidup, or the BSH program, will also be expanded to include single Malaysians aged 40 and above who earn less than RM2,000 a month, which covers 1.1 million additional people, on top of the existing 3.9 million recipients of the BSH cash aid. So in total, RM5 billion will be allocated for the BSH program. The scheme, of course, will also include disabled people aged 18 and above with a monthly income of RM2,000. The government has also decided to include the M40 income group under the petroleum subsidy program in budget 2020.
Yeah, and I think the good thing out of the budget was that we got a bit more detail on how exactly this fuel subsidization program would be carried out. I think it was, if you are a registered member of the BSH program, then it would the cash would just be transferred to you directly, and if not, it would be through a card, the card 95, that would offer you a discount on petrol. But I guess there are some concerns over whether or not those two methods will eventually be united under one program. That still remains to be seen. But to talk to us a little bit more about this, we have on the line with us this morning Calvin Cheng, researcher at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies, or ISIS. Thank you for joining us this morning, Calvin. Now, the RM5 billion spent on Bantuan Sara Hidup, factoring in the social returns of this program, what is your opinion on it? Do you think this is money well spent?
Well, yes, I believe so. You know, I think there's a robust body of evidence over the last two decades or so in hundreds of countries worldwide that cash transfer programs like Bantuan Sara Hidup, BSH, can have highly positive socio-economic impacts on poverty and even beyond. So we heard in the budget speech last week about how Malaysia's tax revenue to GDP is low and about how taxes in Malaysia are not as progressive compared to our regional peers. But the flip side is that government social spending is not progressive enough either, right? And BSH is currently Malaysia's most progressive government transfer. And of course, BSH is not perfect and there are many tweaks to consider. But it's something that's been gradually improving over the past 2 years, right? And in my view, I think one of the clear ways to improve BSH in terms of increasing its socioeconomic impacts on the disadvantaged, you mentioned social returns. And I think one of the best ways to do that is to increase, actually, the benefit amount, especially for the lower income BSH categories. Talking about $5 billion and you're thinking that's an increase, I think it's actually not, because if you look at something like BRIM in 2017, that cost about $7 billion. So we've already gone down to about $5 billion over the last 2 years by increasing the progressivity of the transfers.
And Kelvin, what are your thoughts on the fuel subsidy announced?
So my thoughts, I think in general, fuel subsidies are a bad idea economically, socially, environmentally. And especially so when you look at how it was done in the past in terms of blanket fuel subsidies that we had up to 2015. Which were, of course, you know, ridiculously expensive and regressive in nature. However, I think if we have to have fuel subsidies, this current one is one of the better ways to do it in terms of being targeted instead of a blanket subsidy, and in terms of it being integrated within the existing BSH program, which is some of that targeting costs. And I'm glad it was decided that the fuel subsidies, at least in Peninsular Malaysia, are capped at a certain amount and are only active above a certain price. And also that the bulk of it, like I mentioned, will be paid directly to BSH recipients. So I'm a bit unclear about how this would be done operationally. Because if you look at the previous blanket fuel subsidies, they generally cost about 20 to 25 billion per year. So, of course, depending on the oil prices. So I think this, with this new targeted program, you know, with these cap limits and such, we can cut this 20 to 25 billion per year down by, you know, down to a quarter at least.
But do these subsidies resolve some of the long-term issues in Malaysia, like youth unemployment or cost of living?
Well, I think that's a complex question with probably a long answer, more than we have time to hear. But I think cost of living will forever be an issue. So just structurally, there will always be some facet of expenditure that someone is going to complain about. And of course, this cost of living issue is as much of an issue of income as it's been an issue of cost, right? And if you're talking about subsidies, like fuel subsidies and subsidies for other goods like sugar and cooking oil and the sort, I don't see how these will play a huge role in solving any long-term affordability issues in Malaysia. I think a large part of addressing affordability on the supply side, and especially with regards to food and such, I think these will involve structural reforms to things like competition policy, things like agro-industrial policy, and addressing really the root issues of monopoly power in some sectors of agriculture, in some sectors of food production. And on the income side, it will entail increasing labor productivity, increasing wages and real income. But if you're talking about BSH, I don't think BSH should be thought of as a subsidy in the strict sense, in that it is not trying to keep price of a commodity or price of a good low, as with like fuel subsidies and the like. And you know, BSH is really about social assistance, right? And it's about alleviating poverty and inequality and ensuring that the disadvantaged, you know, the undeserved are being assisted. And yes, I do think social assistance in this sense is one of the largest parts of a larger solution to the longer term issues that you've mentioned.
And if we eventually want to wean off subsidies, how can we do that?
Well, I think in terms of weaning off commodities, like I said, a lot of these will entail longer-term solutions in terms of increasing real incomes, increasing labor productivity in that sense. And also, a lot of it will also entail stop focusing on reducing costs and more of an income, the wage side of things.
So what were the parts of the budget that you liked and disliked, Calvin?
I really appreciate the strong focus on industrial upgrading, on human capital development, and on TVET. And certainly these things are things we need for the longer term development. And I also appreciate the strong signs that BSH will continue to be a key part of Malaysia's social assistance program, which I think is good news if you compare it to earlier talk about 1 or 2 years ago about winding it down, but phasing it out. And I also like that there is focus in the budget speech and in the accompanying documents about Malaysia's low tax to GDP ratio, right? This is obviously a huge problem that we've been dealing with for a long time. And there were some attempts at increasing tax progressivity. So if you look at, I think there's a 2% hike for people with labor income above 2 million. Certainly there's room to go further, but I really appreciate the attempts at progressivity and increasing the tax base. And I also like that there's some focus on the labor side, right? Increasing worker protection, increasing workers' rights, increasing labor market outcomes. And on the flip side, I think there are some, you know, deficient sides as well, in that we need more action on revenue sustainability, on expenditure sustainability. I also think that the focus on fiscal consolidation, meaning reducing the budget deficit, is a bit overdone, a bit too over-focused. On the flip side, there are also certain fiscal or worrying signs in regards to debt service and debt service ratios.
Thank you so much, Calvin. And that was Calvin Cheng, a researcher at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies, or ISIS. And he has made some interesting comments, right? Because overall, he is in favour of cash handouts, because as he said, there is some evidence to suggest that cash handouts on their own are not necessarily bad for a country. But I guess the biggest concern is that, first of all, implementation of these kinds of cash handouts, the implications of them, because in the past they have been linked with the currying of political favour, and just whether or not you are kind of putting a band-aid on a bleeding wound, right? Because if you just keep giving money without giving the tools to perhaps lift yourself out of poverty, what, you know, there's no end in sight, really.
Yeah, I mean, there's this economic theory, right, that you shouldn't continue subsidies after a while, or how much, you know, or like how much should a government spend in terms of creating that social safety net, right? Mm. There are all these different views on this. But I think what he pointed out, which is interesting, is to him, Bantuan Sara Hidup is not a subsidy in a strict sense, right? It's social assistance. So that there is this recognition that there will always be some members of community that do need our help. And, you know, it's something that we should not neglect. It should not be ignored, right? So, yeah, for me, I think Bantuan Sara Hidup is a positive thing, but the implementation is the question mark. It must reach the people that deserve it the most.
Absolutely. And also Calvin's comment there that just when we talk about cost of living, the important thing here is to stress that it is an issue of income rather than cost. Because if we talk about just alleviating the costs, the actual cost of living, you're treating the symptom, not the cause.
Which is why you need to go back to all this industrial upgrading and the focus on TVET and creating jobs with high productivity and much better wages.
Which I think the government has made some strides to attempt to address in this budget. But do continue to let us know what you think on the poll we have running on the BFM Twitter account. That's at BFM Radio. But now we are heading into a few messages and then the 7:30 news. So be sure to stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.